Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast.
Today with another photograph. This image was taken in 2012 during late November. I think this is after we had left Yosemite. We had traveled north again and then cut over to Carson City, Nevada, where we jumped on the 395. Now that next day we traveled south on the 395 trying to get to Bishop, California. I think that's where this photograph was taken. We pulled the Camry over to take some photos of the light that was in the sky in the afternoon sun that was lighting up some of the clouds over this mountain, this hill that was there that had no trees on. I thought that was really cool. And so from this perspective, I turned and I looked back down toward the freeway, toward the highway, which you can see in the photo, and then you can see just a little speck of where the Camry is as you look out to those snow-capped hills that are out there. It was just kind of a cool spot to get some photographs, but I think this was in the higher elevations, and then soon after this, you come over that ridge, you come down, and I think that's where you get into like Mono Lake, and you get into some of those other areas in the 395. But that was really cool heading up through that area in Eastern California. Really interesting remote area of land that it seems like a lot of Californians might not be too familiar with. It's kind of a cool area though. Really glad to get a chance to be out here and photograph it. So thanks for checking it out.
You can see more of my work at billynewmanphoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
Today I posted a photograph from the Owyhee Canyon area. It's like really remote Southeast Oregon territory. It's really cool out there. I've only gone out there a couple times, and really, truthfully, it would need to be, I don't know, it just needs to be explored much more than what I've put my time into it for. But it's just so remote. It's amazing how it is out there. Like what we did is when we came in from Boise, we drove down, and through that, you're kind of in the Owyhee area as it kind of flows into, I guess the Owyhee would flow into the Snake River, somewhere around like Ontario, Oregon. But up above that, I guess the Owyhee goes up toward Winnemucca, which is sort of what I understand, or at least kind of it stretches on up there a little bit. I was hearing about, we ran into this guy, this kind of eccentric mountain man up when we were in the Wallowa Mountains, and he had talked to us. He stopped for a second. He was in like hiking pants and, you know, a jacket with a handkerchief on. He was probably in his 60s, maybe. And he had told us that he was I don't know what he was. He was an enthusiast. He'd been out there for maybe like a month or so. Maybe he said like 4 or 5 weeks of being out in the Wallowa Mountains. And he had his partner going back into town to get provisions when we ran into him. But he had a tripod and a camera, and he was walking around, or he was on a hike through the Eagle Cap Wilderness trying to find these trees, this type of pine that's being affected by climate change. As the climate gets warmer in the alpine area, as the temperature starts to lift in elevation, it changes the types of tree species that are able to live in the alpine area there. So I guess it kills them off as the temperature gets higher for the certain type of pine tree. It's like, what is it, like a 2-needle pine and a 5-needle pine? Something like that. But apparently, I guess that's what this guy's working on. So he's trying to work on a photo project for this. He talked to us for a while, though, about the Owyhee Canyon, about the Snake River, and about I guess about how before the dams were built, the salmon run would flow up the Columbia River, up the Snake River, up the Owyhee River, and you would get salmon run all the way into the interior area of Winnemucca, California, or Winnemucca, Nevada, way out there. So it's just really weird how it kind of pulled up these smaller tributaries of the Columbia from the ocean all the way back into the central part of the state of Nevada, too. So kind of a trip, but it was interesting to talk to that guy for a few, and then when we were out in the Owyhee area, it goes on for a really long time, but there's a few different sections of it. It's a big river, right? Like, so it's a whole territory of land that sort of meanders through that section of Oregon. But really beautiful landscape out there. What we did is we went to Rome, and then there's like the Pillars of Rome. That's this area out there. But then off from that, you can drive south really for for a while on a dirt road. And then you pull around And we took like this really bumpy little road, like a little access road out to this point. And we took some really cool photos of the Owyhee Canyon. It's really pretty right there, at least in the spot that we were taking photos of. But it's cool. I guess if you go a little further, you can pull into this this Three Forks region. I think there's a dam, or there's a few dams on the Owyhee. It seems like that's kind of what I've noticed from it. But there's this backed up area where you can go in. And what I want to do is I want to get a kayak, and I want to set up a camping trip and kind of do like a backpacking trip and just throw the backpack in the kayak and then cut across the water, you know, kind of cut down the Owyhee River and then pull out on different sides of it, you know, over a couple of days and do some camping and do some photos. But it seems like a really cool place to explore the Three Forks area. I guess, was that like the Trout Creek Mountains? It's maybe somewhere near there. Maybe it's not too near to there. I guess that whole area, it stretches up in a pretty expansive way. Like, so from the Owyhee section, then we drove over to like the Burns Junction. And then you have to drive past that, and then you're pretty close to the Alvord Desert. That's when we're driving west, right? So we're way out east, like near McDermott, Oregon, Rome, Oregon. I don't know. It's way out there. I hear that, like this week in early October, I hear it's hunting season, and I guess that's a huge area for, or it's a big district for some of the bigger mule deer, and I guess the elk that are out there. I guess that's a big area to go hunt elk. But I've also heard, like, the fossil area, there's probably plenty of drainages that that work out as good hunting lands for this time of year, for whoever's into that. But, yeah, I've just been working on some photo stuff. So, yeah, the photo from the Owyhee Canyonlands area is posted. I put that one up. I worked on it for a little while, trying to do some editing stuff. But, yeah, it's really cool. I like that area. I really want to go back there and spend some time there for real, you know. That's a tough thing, is it's so remote sometimes, and you're kind of moving over a larger amount of land mass that that whole region just sort of would take a week, maybe more, to kind of get into and explore. And I bet there's a lot of new, interesting photos and visual things you could see down there. It'd just be a cool adventure too. It seems like such a cool spot that's not really seen by a lot of other people. So I don't know, an interesting thing and something to put on the opportunities list for next season as we come back into the camping zone. But yeah, it seems like you're gonna have a couple months here, like winter in Oregon always is, of it kind of turning down into a little bit of a slower time for the outdoor adventure, outdoor camping, travel stuff.
You can check out more information at billynewmanphoto.com. You can go to billynewmanphoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at billynewmanphoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it. If you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon, that's patreon.com/billynewmanphoto.
So I worked with those film bodies for a while. Then I tried to switch out and I bought a Sony A7R, which was really interesting. I was really interested in what Sony was doing with the mirrorless systems that they're creating, those the interchangeable lens cameras that are out. So I used a Sony camera at work to do a bunch of the production photography that I was doing, and then on top of that, I bought the Sony A7R to work with at home and work with on all the landscape stuff. And that was great. It was, you know, it's a 36 megapixel camera, which is, you know, mind blowing and astonishing when you think in comparison to the 4.2 megapixels I was working with the Nikon D2H. So it was awesome to kind of get that expansion, you know, when working with digital systems. And I love doing that. But there's some limitations to the A7R line, like the original A7R. I liked that camera and I'd probably shoot with something like that again. It kind of reminded me more of like the Leica model of camera, or it seemed more like a rangefinder kind of camera, the way that it was built, the kind of small structure of it and the way that it was designed. It seemed like it wasn't quite a full DSLR replacement at the time. And I think that's not what they were really aiming for by the design of it and, you know, by the options and by the mechanisms of the camera that, and the way that it worked. It seemed like it was kind of supposed to sort of be a camera sort of to the side of your professional camera if you're doing professional work. Like it was really difficult. We shot a couple weddings with it,
made some beautiful photographs with it, had some great lenses that I worked with, but there was a lot of things that I was really lacking on. I think I talked about that in earlier episodes of this podcast too, where there would just be problems with the autofocus, where it was great for landscape stuff, really slow, stuff where you'd have your camera on your tripod and you spend some time trying to set the shutter, trying to set up the focal length of the lens and having time to focus the image in a way that, worked out all right. All of those features really worked out really well. But if you wanted to go through and in a pretty short amount of time, hammer out a couple hundred frames that were all that, you'd all want to be in focus, or you'd all want to be, pretty functional raw images, it just had a harder time getting that sort of stuff done. And the way that the buttons were laid out and the way that the menu was laid out, you didn't really have the ability to kind of reach for and grab at those sort of professional and necessary photography feature as quickly as you would want to. So I learned a lot by working with it. It was great to use. I'd probably want a camera like that again, and especially the A7R II or the A7 II and the A7S and now the A7R III, all of those, and the A9, gosh, all of those newer Sony line mirrorless cameras have a lot of interesting features. And they've also, I think, tried to directly target some of those limitations that the first A7, A7R line had with them. So I think now there's way more dynamic video features, way more dynamic auto-focusing systems in it that are, I think, quite a bit better. But I still hear there's some seek problems. That's what I had, is that, you'd go to focus the image, and then the autofocus point would just seek forever. It wouldn't grab onto the thing that you needed it to. And then when you take the photograph, you'd have a blackout, like, because it's a digital representation of the image in the viewfinder instead of a through the lens, single lens reflex style view of it. You would lose sight of the photograph that you were taking. And then if you were trying to hammer a few frames all at once, it would just stay black that whole time, because it was about a second to process. And then you would try and take maybe two or three frames a second. And so you just wouldn't see anything the whole time that you were trying to get the image. And that's where I was noticing that that kind of digital model wasn't really what I wanted at the time. Now in the A9, I think there's like a whole feature system that sort of eliminates that whole problem. And now there's just like a blinking band that kind of pops in yellow so that you know that you're taking a frame right then, but it never really loses or goes blackout. But I was noticing that, with that, I was like, oh, well, I really liked the stuff that I was doing with film, where it was just way more analog and where you could just kind of look right at what you were taking and you could really focus in on the expression and the moment that you're capturing in the photograph. And that way you could be more selective about the way that you were taking the photograph. So I wanted to kind of move back toward the DSLR system anyway, and I wanted a more professional feature set where it was weather sealed, or where it was set up where you could hammer out a lot of frames on it for work, all the time, and you would just know that it would work all the time. Also, in addition, the Sony cameras had sort of some issues with the battery system that they used on those first couple models. It was pretty small. Or it was, and the camera was kind of power intensive because everything was always running a screen, either on the back of the screen for the viewfinder for the screen or for the viewfinder itself that you would look through with your eye. That was always like a screen that was running, and so it would run through your battery pretty quickly. And it was kind of an anemic battery system. I think there's a lot of reviews that sort of mention that same problem with it all the time, that it was just sort of an issue that people would run into, especially people that were trying to work a professional job. If you wanted to work with a camera for a whole day, you would just run into a lot of problems, and you'd have to have a lot of batteries to kind of run through it. And so I liked it for a lot of stuff that I did. It worked really well, but overall it wasn't really a camera system that I was able to use for some of the jobs that I was being asked to do. And so that was kind of why, if I need to make all this, or if I'm going to try and make some money doing photography, then I'm going to have to switch over to something that I can kind of use more as a tool all the time.
Thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast.
Hope you guys check out some stuff on billynewmanphoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts, all pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at billynewmanphoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.